Now, nearly 900 Māori leaders and governors and decision makers are taking part in Amorangi, Māori and Governance Summit. And Tapu Wairoa Kaihautu Te Pūoho is joining us to discuss the growing importance of Māori leadership and governance across the country. And I remind you, Pūoho is also Te Pūoho's standing for Labour in the Te Hawauru electorate for the elections. In 100 days from today, so Ngāti Tōrangatira, Ngāti Whātua, Ngāti Tama. Great to have a kōrero with you today, Te Pūoho. I'm looking forward to a lengthy conversation in He Rere Hua, but today we'll lock in and focus on Amorangi. Thanks for joining us on the program. E hoa, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Always a pleasure, Dale.
Thank you. That's a big number, and of course, some joining remotely, of course, which is sensible. You say the hybrid style of this hui recognises the importance that so many of our people are placing on governance matters. What does this level of interest tell you about the current state of Māori governance in our land, Te Pūoho?
Look, I think that not just the number, but the diversity of people who come into these hui really shows us that our ability to add value at board tables, whether it's around the Marae Committee, whether it's for our iwi, it's for public companies, or for councils, there is real value in making sure that we take all of our tikanga and our mātauranga to those tables and help change the perspectives and add a diversity of thought as well. And I'm really pleased to see it's not just the speakers that draw people in, but the big, amazing group of experiences and thoughts that come in as well from all of the attendees. And even the online people are participating via chat and in polls so that we're trying to create a connected community, whether you're in the room or not.
Tēnā koe. There are some significant themes that are filtered through the kaupapa. Might you be kind enough to speak to them and of them?
Yeah, sure. Every time we want to make sure that there is, governance is getting much more complex. We're finding our boards are getting challenged by new and faster rates of change. And so our themes that we explore, and we have two speakers per theme, are an attempt to make sure that we're able to really pull on the thread so people can understand and digest. And so for these ones, we're talking about mana motuhake, bringing sovereignty to the front and how we govern. Transformation, how you do drive transformation from a board table. Resilience, how you're building up resilience, not just in yourself, but in your processes and in your board as a unit. We talked about balance, and there was a lot of balance about your own individual ability to bring to find balance in the way that you portray yourself as a governor and as a professional and as a person. And then lastly, around kotahitanga, the collective, and having people like Judge Karen Fox and Lady Tureiti Moxon speaking to those points is really poignant and powerful.
You've spoken, Te Pūoho, about governance being more than structures and compliance. What does effective Māori governance look like in practice, and how does it help deliver better outcomes for our people on the ground, Iho?
Well, I think that the main thing that it tells us is that what is expected to us, our director's duties are our minimum standard. We need to make sure those things are okay. But our tikanga and our whakapapa, our relationships, particularly to the people who give us mandates to govern, that requires something greater. And so our ability to make sure that we are earning our mandate, irrespective of whether we are appointed by shareholders, or whether we are voted in, or whether we voted in at an election, that is front of mind for all of us. We need to make sure that we're earning that authority by how we act and how we embed our values. And it's not just doing karakia at the start of your board meeting. It's not just putting the tangas in your strategic documents. It's how you make decisions every day. It's how you ask yourself as a board, how am I being a good ancestor by making this choice and making these prioritization decisions? And how do my decisions affect and turn up in the lives of the people that have given me this power?
Tēnā koe. You note encouragingly that the Institute of Directors New Zealand are seeing this, recognising the hui as a professional development opportunity for the first time. Why is that important?
Well, I think for me, and we've been working with the Institute of Directors for each of our summits that we've run. So this is the third iteration of our Amorangi Summit. And I think for us, it was timely because for many of our people, the programs that the IOD undertakes is very intensive, but cost prohibitive. And for us, we wanted to make sure that this is accessible to all people who find themselves on boards, often put there by whānau, and need to make sure that they can develop. And so I think it reflects the diversity of the entry for Te Ao Māori into the governance tables. And it's also understanding that as a discipline, tikanga-led governance has a lot to add, not just to Māori boards, but to all boards. And I've certainly seen that through around my board tables where I sit, whether they are Māori or non-Māori, the ability to bring intergenerational thinking, the ability to bring sustainability and kaitiakitanga to the fore, that's embraced by everyone around our board tables. And so I think IOD partnering with us and stepping into this space to explore further partnerships into the future goes to show that as we build up what we want our Aotearoa to look like, Te Ao Māori, Tikanga Māori are going to play a core role in how we govern our institutions, our firms, our entities going into the future.
In this political climate, the term tikanga-led governance is something of an anomaly. You say it's important. I can understand it in our own settings, our own governance settings, Māori. But do you believe that tikanga-led governance is being accepted in more mainstream governance settings?
Yes, absolutely. I've given speeches on tikanga-led governance in Australia. I've given tikanga-led governance conversations in Alaska. There are places, and what it comes down to are there are core underlying tenets to our tikanga that are actually shared through many, many different groups of people. And for us, it's about making sure that we're able to dive down into the depths of that and find ways to connect with people who might not come from our culture and our whakapapa, but still believe deeply in our ability to put people and place at the heart of our decision making. And so it's about creating a language, a lexicon, as it were, to translate our concepts into ways that non-Māori can also hold on to. Because we know that once they do, we make better decisions as boards. And I think that's what we see at Amorangi, is all of these different viewpoints coming out. I've sat on finance boards, I've sat on investment funds, and I bring those tikanga to the fore every day and get no pushback on it because it's an important place for us to make sure that we have a broad perspective and we're guarding against insularity of groupthink around the board table.
Tēnā koe, but in this political climate, and we're trying to see a dumbing down of tikanga issues and utilisation of Māori perspectives in the political realm and legislation sort of tabled to give effect to that, there'll be some who are more dismissive than others of these cultural approaches to governance issues. And while it might sit comfortably with other Indigenous or First Nations peoples and our thinking processes, have governmental attitudes and the political climate playing any, or are they having an impact on our ability to embed more tikanga-led governance practices in real time around decision-making tables?
Well, I think you raise a good point. And Makarorea Linden, who was one of our speakers yesterday, talked about the journey with Te Aka Whai Ora, which was obviously established under the last government and disestablished very quickly under the current coalition, and the processes and the hurt that had gone through that process. And it is a fair point to raise. And I think that when the public sector abrogates their responsibilities to our TDT partnership, the private sector has to step in. And I think we have seen a lot of people stepping in. I look back at the March on Parliament. There were a lot of non-Māori in that march. When I go around into different groups, I get a lot of support in the private sector. There are always going to be some who are less willing or more intransigent in their views to come along. But I do think that that's a slowly dying minority in terms of a changing mindset and perspective about what Aotearoa can be. Now, I'm very clear that the reason why I put my hand into politics is because that's not who we should be. It's not who we've grown to be over the last four or five decades of the progress made in our Te Tiriti partnership. There's still work to do, but we can't unpick all the hard-fought battles that our forebears have done in 3 years. And so making sure that we're, until the time we have a government who is willing to step in as authentic and active TDT partners, we will make sure that we're pushing on every single lever that we can to bring those tikanga to the fore and make sure that what our Aotearoa looks like, irrespective of whether we have a regressive government or not, is going to reflect that foundational document that brought us all here.
Tēnā koe, Te Pōhō Kātene is with us today. We're speaking about Amorangi, a conference bringing together a lot of change agents from our governance sector. Looking ahead, Iho, how do we build the next generation of Māori governors and leaders? What are you reading in this space? And what are the biggest opportunities and challenges you see for Māori governance over the next decade, Te Pōho?
So I think that's really important. Like, everybody's talking about rangatahi as well. I'm making sure that we get rangatahi voices around the table. We really need to make sure we're investing in those rangatahi voices. It's unsafe to just throw them onto a board and then say, swim, because it's a tough area to be in, and sometimes there's some really tricky issues that you have to get through. You don't want to be learning that for the first time as a rangatahi. You want to be make sure that we've got support wrapped around them. So it's one thing to put a person in a spot of leadership, but we need to make sure we wrap around them and continue their journey. And if they do fall, everybody falls eventually, that we're there to catch them. The other thing that's really important for us, and it was raised a few times, is that sometimes, whānau, we're in these spots too long. We need to know that once we stop adding value to the board table, we need to vacate our seat and let other people who are more adept, more willing, and more equipped for where our organisations are, we need to have the humility that sometimes nui ake te kaupapa I te tangata. The kaupapa must be bigger than the person. And so that's a key part. We've got to grow, and then we've got to withdraw. And I think that's going to be a challenge, to make sure that we're doing that. And the reason why that's so important, it's getting more important, is because the rate of change we're seeing in the world is bigger and faster than we can upgrade ourselves as directors. Like, the rate of change of things like AI, things like climate change, we're not going to be able to keep up. It's just a fact. And so we need to be able to reflect when we do our internal evaluations and make sure, when you look at yourself as a governor, say, am I still the best thing for this board table? And I have to be honest, if I'm not, I need to move out and let the kaupapa continue with someone who's more equipped to help. Yeah, so I think that's a challenge.
And I think that's a very good point that you make. You know, there was a saying in times past that when you join a Māori board, you die in the chair because you're there for life. But I am taking from you that it's such a dynamic world and the changes are plenty. Got to know when the right time to gracefully depart arrives, and that does take some humility to recognise that.
Dale, I would just say on that one, it's not an age thing. Like, we have people on our boards, like my Matua Rode Stafford on the board at 85, he still adds value every day, and he's our absolute true star north for our tikanga. And so it's not, once you get too old and move out, it's understanding what serves the kaupapa best. And that's not an age thing, it's a stage and a progress and a skill set match. And so I want to make sure that that's really clear. Age isn't the factor, it's what's best for the board.
And it has been a pleasure. We'll talk politics with you next time around, but thank you very much for giving us a heads up on Amorangi, its significance, its importance, and indeed how it's attracted so many of our people to get better at what they do. All the best until we chat again. Thanks very much, Te Pōho.
Thank you, Dale. Have a good one.
Tēnā koe, thank you.